Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the mid-May 2023. The global carbon dioxide level is 424.45 parts per million. That's almost 425 parts per million. And of course, by now you know that the level regarded as safe is 350 parts per million, meaning we're almost 75 parts per million over the safe mark. On top of that, there's only 2,436 days left until the year 2030. It's only 7 years away now, by which time we have to cut our global carbon emissions in half in order to preserve a livable climate. So the clock's ticking. Anyway, dear listener, the green energy, we all think of windmills, and we think of solar panels, and we think of a lot of technology. But it turns out that it's a little bit more tricky to capture, shall we say, the greenness of that wind turbine and make it pay. Right? It's an important thing to do. One of the concepts that floats around in renewable energy circles is something called a REC, which is a renewable energy credit. It goes by a bunch of different names, but you'll often hear it called a REC, an REC. And a REC is, quite honestly, difficult to understand because it can get pretty abstract pretty quick. But we already have some analogs of renewable energy credit in our lives, right? There are things that you really feel you possess that aren't particularly, you can't put your fingers on. For example, if you graduated from high school, you probably cannot put your hand on your high school graduation certificate, but you graduated. It's a thing, right? You get value for that abstract idea that you graduated from high school. Another maybe more relevant description is to say people own stocks in a company. Right. So what is that? When you own a stock, you own a little chunk of a company. But what is that? You might get a piece of paper you can keep in your drawer, but that's not really the thing. The thing is an abstract, non-physical quantity that has value. Right. It's a stock. You get dividends on it. You get real money on it, but it's a very abstract thing. So the idea of a renewable energy credit is somewhat similar. It's a way of representing value that the renewable energy systems produce, but it's hard to understand, very important. And what we're trying to do today is to explain that. What the heck is a REC? Which is why we are blessed to have with us today the Clean Energy Director of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, Ms. Lily Worthley. How are you doing, Lily?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ted?
Thank you so much for being with us, because I just gave, I'm sure, a garbled description of what a renewable energy credit is, but it's an important thing to try and understand. So tell me, in what I said, was there something wrong, or how would you explain to somebody what a renewable energy credit is? And then we can talk later about why they matter, but what is it? A wreck. People throw it around all the time in these circles, and it's not clear what's going on.
Yeah. I definitely want to just underscore that it's very abstract and very complicated to understand. So I'm right there with you. I think that's a very good framing for it. It's very, very abstract. So renewable energy certificate, not credit, but same idea.
There you go. I'm already, yeah, okay.
Same idea. A renewable energy certificate. They're an attribute credit. So basically the way that we can think about it is this term, like decoupled energy or decoupled markets. And the idea is that the flow of like electrons, the actual electricity at the substation at the generation point is separated from it being clean. So once it enters the grid, it's just energy, clean, dirty, nuclear, oil turbine plant, whatever. It's just energy. So how do we account for that clean energy that comes with the RECs, that comes with the renewable attribute credits? And it's not just RECs. There's greenhouse GGES greenhouse credits, there's non-emitting credits, there's a whole bunch of ways that we can say this is what kind of energy this is. But they all come down to the same idea of it's a certificate. It's a way of saying, hey, this is clean. And generally, and this is true with a REC, 1 megawatt hour of electricity produced equals 1 REC, 1 certificate. So the way that I think about this is, growing up, my soft rock adult radio station in my town, they always said, we're run on 100% clean energy, or we're carbon neutral. And I, you know, as a kid, I was like, how can a radio station do that? They don't have a power plant in their backyard. I don't understand. And it's the clean energy attributes. It's, you know, they don't produce their own energy, but they're getting the same fuel mix as I am. How can they say that they're clean? And it's because they're buying these renewable energy certificates. They're buying and retiring. And that's kind of key too. There's a whole market for this. And I think
because they have value, right?
They do have value. So at my old position, at the solar company, part of what I did was look at our SREC, solar renewable energy certificates. And those were traded. We made money off those. They were like $200 at the time for 1 megawatt hour's worth of solar energy. The REC that was minted would be around $200. So there's a whole market of trading. There's a whole system of how a company can say that they are clean. And a key consideration with this is that if they're not participating in this market, they can't say they're clean. So
even if you have a wind, forgive me, just for interrupting, but you say, even if you're sitting and your radio station does happen to have a huge solar panel array on the roof, that doesn't matter unless they are also taking the renewable energy certificates and retiring those, right?
Exactly. So a way that I can think about this is, let's say I live right next to the Berkshire wind turbines. The energy that's entering my house is probably pretty clean, because energy is generally close to where it's generated in terms of my toasters run on clean energy. But I'm not participating in that REC market. And unless my utility is buying those RECs, they can't say that they're clean energy, because some company, some other utility, some whatever, some radio station could be buying the RECs from Berkshire Wind. So we can't say, well, Berkshire Wind is, that territory is 100% clean energy, and also be having radio stations and companies be buying those RECs and saying, we're 100% clean energy. So it's a way of double counting. Exactly. So it's a way of avoiding double counting. And that's kind of the big overarching confusion and the area of concern is, well, what do you mean? We get all of our power from wind turbines. We're definitely clean. It's like, yes, that's fantastic. But also, you're selling all of those RECs to Walmart. Walmart saying they're 100% clean energy using those wind turbines. So you can't double count.
Interesting. And it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the value of those RECs is in proportion to the requirement that the utilities have a certain amount of clean energy. So the utilities have to buy the RECs. And that's where the market, so we keep saying market, but I mean, the people who want to buy the RECs typically are the utility, because they're forced to say our electricity is clean. And so that's why, would you say that's who's buying most of these things? Is National Grid buying a lot of the RECs because they have to be clean by state law?
Yeah, I would definitely say a large proportion are the investor-owned utilities, National Grid, Eversource, you know, those folks. They, in order for them, same as radio station, in order for them to say that we're 70% clean energy, they need to be participating in this market. They need to be not just buying RECs, but retiring those RECs, so they can't be sold off again for a different way of double counting.
We shouldn't go here, because I don't understand it enough. And I probably, everyone I've talked to does not understand it either, but this thing called blockchain is a way of accounting for this not double counting. It's a method, right? Anyway, let's not, I shouldn't have even said blockchain. I'll edit that out, because blockchain is a whole other thing.
It's a whole beast
of itself. But talk to me a little bit about, when you say a market, mm-hmm. what does, again, I think that's an abstract thing. That's not like the farmer's market on the town common where people are selling apples, right? This is a, what, an electronic market? And who runs the, this market? Or how are these things bought and sold?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our energy system is just a twisting and turning of a billion different markets overlapping and cross-sectoring and interacting with each other. So one of those markets would be renewable attribute credits, REC markets. There's a separate market for greenhouse gas credit markets. There's a separate one for non-emitting credits. There's all billions of little different markets in the clean or in the energy sector at large. Those are typically run by the grid operators, I believe, or a separate third-party mm-hmm. entity. So they're the
and
way
the grid
that
operator
I,
in our state case would yes. be ISO New England.
Exactly. Yes, ISO New England. But it's again, it's confusing because I'm not even 100% confident on that answer because the way that I interacted with REC markets was through brokerage and through firms who do this for you. So like there's companies who all they do is manage these markets and trade at the right times when the prices are exactly, you can think of it a lot of like stock market and just, it's all abstract. All of it exists, but kind of doesn't exist. And the prices fluctuate based on demand and based on capacity, how much is going into the market.
Is it fair to say that, I mean, you said that there are lots of different markets that have to do with, greenhouse gas avoidance and these renewable energy certificates. I mean, the way I say it is that the people who run the grid, the whole thing, is always trying to identify some kind of value they can charge somebody for, right? And if there's value in the renewable energy certificates, or if there's value, by which I mean money, you can put a dollar sign on the greenhouse gas emissions that you've avoided. If you can put a dollar sign on that, then you can have a market where this stuff is bought and sold on a competitive basis, right? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I would. That's a good takeaway. I mean, the whole reason, in my understanding, the whole reason these renewable energy certificate markets exist in the first place was a way to make renewable energy profitable, was a way to incentivize development. A lot of the ways that renewable energy companies are able to make money are off of these certificates because the grid operator, the state's policy, whatever, they see we need more clean energy. We need more of this. How do we incentivize it? And money talks. that's true in energy. That's true everywhere. Is the best, maybe not the best way, but a fairly surefire way to get folks interested in something is to put a value on it and say, if you have a choice between building a gas power plant or a wind turbine, you'll get extra money. You'll get extra value if you build the wind turbine. Yeah, it might be a little bit more expensive upfront, which comes with another reason why these markets exist is because renewable energy is cost intensive upfront. And then the fuel is free, sun, wind. We love that. But the upfront cost is a lot. So these credit markets are a way of kind of offsetting that consideration when developers are going into a territory.
So let me go back to the question, which I think is people get lost on, I get lost on, but the idea that the analogy that I use, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the electric grid, the electricity that's running my computer in front of me, right? They're just electrons. There's no way to know where that electron came from. Right. And that's you can thank Dr. Fermi for that in the 1930s, right? You don't know where that electron came from. But and if you have electrons that are produced by wind versus electrons that are produced by coal, the analogy is that you've got one glass of dirty brown water and one glass of nice clean water, and you pour them both into the swimming pool, and you can't, the swimming pool being the grid. Right, you cannot distinguish anymore which little bit of dirty water came from which glass. And so in order to identify how clean the energy is, you need to make that distinction before you pour the water into the pool. So after, which is what you were saying, it's like you're decoupling, which again, means separating the attribute. Again, these are big words, right? But the fact that this is clean energy has value in and of itself, regardless of the electron. And so the certificate splits that off. and makes it, puts it on a piece of paper, say, this is a thing that is separate, because once the electron's into the grid, as you say, they're all the same. You can't tell which is which. Is that a fair way of saying
it? I hadn't heard that before, but I love that, the analogy of the dirty water, because that's what it is. You don't know what electrons, and we can figure out the power supply of a territory, the electrons. You know, we can say this grid, this, you know, contained in a box of a substation, of where this power is coming from, we can say what the mix is, but in terms of what electrons are going where, it's just in the grid. It's just it's all muddled together. Right. So you have to say, okay, I have, you know, a quarter cup of clean energy and a quarter cup of dirty energy at the very start, so that when it's all muddled together into the half cup, you're able to figure out, okay, this is how much clean energy is being part of the grid, by going back to that accounting method. Right. And the key thing with this decoupled market, because a lot of folks, when I talk to about this, are like, well, what's the point? Like, why do we need to do this? Like, this just seems overly complicated. It's how we can account for clean energy. It's how we can, you know, be working towards a specific percentage goal of 50% clean energy by XYZ date, or we need to have this much clean energy in our mix by this time. The only way of figuring that out and making sure there's no double counting going on, making sure that we're actually being accurate with our clean energy percentages, is by working with this market. The market is the way that we account for clean energy with
So just to carry that to an extreme, if you say my electricity grid is 100% green and clean, that means that all of the power in that grid has an associated renewable energy certificate that proves it's green. Right. And then you say or if it's 50% of the power is accounted for in the certificates, the RECs, then you're 50% clean. Is that fair?
I would say that the key consideration of being able to say this is 100% clean, my grid's 100% clean, 50% clean, whatever, is your grid operator or is your utility retiring those RECs? They can be minting these RECs, you know, creating the RECs with their wind turbines and solar and all the rest of it. And they can be minting, you know, all of this clean energy and, you know, having all of these RECs. But if they're not retiring them, they can't say anything about clean energy. If they're selling them off and not retiring, they're not making it.
So tell me the story. How do you retire a renewable energy certificate? How do you retire a REC?
Yeah, I know this from kind of like a brokerage standpoint, where they just kind of say like, go retire it, and they go retire it, and you pay them money to go figure that out. But my understanding is that it's within this, you know, online marketplace of RECs, you have the option of, here's, you know, click into it, here's your, you know, 30 RECs that were made on this day. What do you want to do with them? Do you want to put them on the market for XYZ price? Do you want to just hold on to them, do nothing? Or do you want to retire them? Which is basically saying, a phrase that I don't think is exactly right, but, you know, we'll eat the money and we're going to retire these so that we can say create clean energy.
This is the generator, you know? Right?
Yeah. So we're a generator. We could sell these for $200 a pop, or we could just retire them, not make that money, but we're able to say we're clean energy. So in a way, you're able to say, I'm buying the right to say we made clean energy.
And once they're retired, somebody takes a big magic, big Sharpie and puts an X in the middle of it and says, you cannot sell this one again, right? It's done. It's over. It's gone.
It's retired. It's done. You know, it's hanging out in Florida. It's whatever. It's retired.
And this is where the trickiness comes in, that they have to be honestly tracked, and you can't keep that's a great scam, right? Keep selling the same $200 REC over and over again to people. I mean, that doesn't work. And so, but I think there are mechanisms in place to guarantee that once these renewable energy credits are retired, in quotation marks, they're off the market. And that's the whole, and that comes back to the whole sort of ephemeral nature of electricity. Because what you can't, without a big battery system, which is a whole other topic, right? You can't store the electricity anywhere, right? So once it's used, you got to retire. Okay, now forgive me. Let me stop there and ask a different question. So I've got my town here out on 495 is quite proud of itself because we have 100% green energy. Okay. The claim is that we have renewable energy certificates that account for all the electricity used in the aggregate, the town aggregation. But it's my understanding that those renewable energy certificates come from Texas, right? And that here in Massachusetts, we have something called Class 1 renewable energy certificates, which means not only is it the electricity clean, but it was made right here in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts people had the jobs, and it's their higher class recs. Is that true? Are you familiar with that aspect of things?
I'm not as familiar as the distinctions between Class 1 and Class 2, other than the sources. So I'm not entirely sure of the geography considerations, but I know that Class 1 RECs, that's solar, wind, and small hydro. You can't have nuclear is not qualifying for Class 1 RECs, but they can mm-hmm. qualify for other RECs. Mm-hmm. So that's my understanding with that. But the idea that they're buying RECs from Texas, that's very commonplace. And the solar farm that I managed when I was working in solar, we had owners who were all over the place, you know, in Seattle, in Iowa, and they were all having claim to the clean energy produced by the solar farm in North Carolina. It is a national, perhaps international, I'm not sure, but it's a very large network of RECs, working together in different classes of those RECs for the distinctions that each state has of this counts as clean energy, but then maybe, you know, I don't know, this is a fact, but let's say Massachusetts says, yes, we count solar, wind, small hydro as clean energy, Class 1. But then Iowa says, okay, we also include natural gas in clean energy because right. they see it as clean energy, which firmly I do not, and neither does Massachusetts in a lot of ways. There are some exceptions, but the classes within RECs are the way it's distinguishing for the state's needs, the right. regulatory needs that differ state to state.
Interesting. All right. Well, so what I'm taking out of this conversation is that a renewable energy certificate is something, is an abstract thing, an abstract idea, concept that is basically split from the actual electrons at the windmill. So you can think of the windmill producing electrons and little pieces of renewable energy certificates falling from the sky to the ground that look like dollars, right? And they then represent the green aspect of the electricity. And if you want to say that you're green, your electricity is green, then you have to have purchased and retired, that is to say, not you, basically buy them and throw them away, these renewable energy certificates, and that there's value there that drives the development of the clean economy. Right? Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I would say you're spot on with that. And another added value of forcing retirement of these RECs in order for them to say this is clean energy is that now there's a gap. Now we need to be producing more clean energy to create more RECs. It's further incentivizing more clean energy, not just, existing clean energy or, you know, keeping the same megawatt hours worth of clean energy in the REC space, but new megawatt hours worth of clean energy. And then furthermore, it's incentivizing more development in some cases.
Mm-hmm. So, well, there you go. That's Renewable Energy Certificates 101. Okay, dear listener, that's our explanation for what an REC, a REC is. And what I'll do is we'll put up some links on the blog to explain this so you can go chase it down on for yourself. Those links will be on the blog at Massachusetts Climate Action, massclimateaction.org. So you go in there, you look at the banner, and across the banner it says newsletter and more. You pull that down on the right hand side, it says blog and podcast, and you go in there, and eventually you will get to this, the show page for this, that'll have hot links to some of the stuff that we talked about as to what a renewable energy certificate is. If you have any questions or comments about what we ought to be talking about, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what's hot in your area. Of course, you're listening to us on your smartphone using Stitcher or one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support with great ideas every week. And want to close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next 7 years under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Lily, thank you so much for being here to take us through this.
Of course, I'm happy to.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.